in miracles.
Australian voters deliver a surprise election outcome. It's Monday, May 20th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're glad to have you with us. Join us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, the young are shaping India's future. Chinese businesses feel trade tensions. Rohingyas are being registered. Tracking microbes and music therapy. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Australia's centre-right government has staged a stunning comeback in the federal election, widely predicted to feel the force of voter anger after six turbulent years in office. The Liberal National Coalition will be returned to power for a third term, either in its own right or in a minority government with the support of independents. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
This is a remarkable result few people had expected. For months, opinion polls had indicated that Australians had grown tired of feuds within Scott Morrison's Conservative government. It's had three prime ministers since it was elected in 2013, but fought this campaign on its economic record. The prime minister had said the opposition wasn't fit to govern and couldn't manage money. He's celebrating his unexpected triumph with party loyalists and his wife and two daughters.
I have always believed in miracles. I'm standing with the three biggest miracles in my life here tonight. And tonight we've been delivered another one.
Voters appeared unnerved by the opposition's radical tax reform agenda and its big spending plans for health and education. Labour's Bill Shorten has quit as leader and has spoken of the pain of defeat.
I want to say beyond this room to Australians who supported Labor, I know that you're all hurting, and I am too.
It's not all good news for the centre-right coalition. The former Conservative Prime Minister Tony Abbott has lost his seat in Sydney to an independent candidate after holding it for 25 years. Australian politics is rarely dull. It's often brutal and petty, but also unstable. It's more than a decade since a prime minister here last served a full term in office.
Phil Mercer also followed tributes paid to the former Australian Prime Minister Bob Hawke, who died at the age of 89 just prior to votes being cast. He is credited with reforming the Australian economy and taking a stand against racism.
Bob Hawke brought a common and charismatic touch to the office of prime minister and had an ability to connect with ordinary Australians. The former trade union boss led the country from 1983 to 1991 and was Australia's third longest-serving leader, winning four federal elections. The current Prime Minister Scott Morrison says he made a great contribution to public life.
We rejoice in the life of Bob Hawke. We thank him for his service to our nation. And we pray now that he rest in peace.
Hawke helped to modernise the Australian economy, including floating the currency and removing tariffs. He also championed universal healthcare and environmental issues. He abhorred racism and agitated for the end of apartheid in South Africa. Kim Beazley served as Defence Minister in Bob Hawke's cabinet.
His greatest achievement was that he changed this nation. The modern Australia is in many ways a product of his governing and legislative activities of the 1980s. We survive internationally competitive because of his restructuring.
Bob Hawke is also remembered as a maverick, mischievous but kind-hearted. The former Labour Prime Minister had been unwell for months. He was once asked by an interviewer how he would like to be remembered.
I guess as a bloke who loved his country, still does, and loves Australians, and who was not essentially changed by high office.
He was political to the end. His final public statement was an open letter to the Australian people to vote for a Labour government in Saturday's federal election. Hawke's family is to hold a private funeral, which will be followed by a public memorial service in Sydney in the coming weeks. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
These are among some of the top Asia stories you'll find right now when you visit online at voanews.com. Australia Prime Minister has miracle election win. Sanctions threaten North Korea's old and new elites. Huawei founder sees little effect from U.S. sanctions. China's top diplomat calls for U.S. restraint on trade and Iran. Lawbreakers to lawmakers, the criminal candidates standing in India's election. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories, much more too, on Facebook at VOA Asia and the voanews.com website. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Over half of India's 1.3 billion people are under the age of 25, and in the ongoing general elections, almost 15 million voters between 18 and 19 are expected to cast their ballots for the first time. Politically aware and vocal, India's youth have emerged as a significant constituency for most political parties. VOA's Rital Joshi explores the issues that matter the most to these young voters and which political party stands to benefit the most from their support.
18-year-old Shambhu Kumar left his impoverished village in the eastern Indian state of Bihar in search of a better life. He was lucky to land a job as a junior camera assistant in Delhi. Shambhu does not hold the government responsible for his poverty or the lack of opportunities in his village. On the contrary, he is quite satisfied with India's current administration.
The government gave us taps, built drains, bathrooms, and also gave us a house. I am happy and will vote for it again.
Some 20 kilometers away from Kumar's office, many students in Delhi University are not so happy with the current administration. Law student Rashi Singh and many others like her constantly worry about employment.
You are producing many graduates. So many colleges are opening up with substandard education for youth, but then there aren't any jobs.
They promised to build temples and this and that, but honestly, the new generation could care less. For me, employment is more important. Am I going to have a job or not?
But according to a survey by the Center for the Study of Developing Societies, the chances of this anger getting converted into a vote against the current government are slim.
They are not saying explicitly that they will not vote for this government. Even though the government could not live up to its promises, they still believe in Prime Minister Modi.
India's youth vote, historically low, spiked in 2014, helping push Narendra Modi and the BJP to power. But over the past 5 years, incidents of religious extremism and intolerance have increased under Modi's leadership, disappointing many young voters.
Many differentiation I personally felt just because I wore a scarf and I am a Muslim. And I don't want that particular caste and particular religion, particular community should face any kind of discrimination because of anyone.
Political patriotism has increased a lot, so it needs to come down a little.
But on external issues like foreign policy, the majority of Indian young people firmly backs the BJP government.
India is an important player in the world scenario. I didn't see that 10 years ago. So it shows that government has performed well.
More than 51% of people between the ages of 18 and 34 now claim to be interested in politics, as compared to only 37% in 1996. But this growing interest is not yet reflected in the government, where the average age of lawmakers is close to 60. Rital Joshi, VOA News, New Delhi, India.
News from VOA Asia, the U.S. State Department has cleared $314 million in possible sales of air defense missiles to South Korea, according to the Pentagon. As tensions reemerge on the Korean Peninsula, the proposed sale comes after North Korea recently criticized South Korea's defense purchases from the United States. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today as we begin a brand new week on VOA Asia. Trade tensions between the United States and China are deepening, and after months of talks, the two sides appear no closer to reaching a deal. VOA spoke with business owners in southern China about the toll from the prolonged standoff. VOA Mandarin Service reporter Ye Bing has more from Guangdong.
When the U.S. first imposed tariffs on Chinese goods, Beijing predicted the strategy would backfire. In China's manufacturing heartland, Guangdong, entrepreneurs and workers are feeling the pinch as the talks drag on. At a recent industrial expo, several spoke with VOA about the impact.
Our target market is in mainland China, mainly those machine tool factories. Now they have been affected, so naturally we will be affected too. For now, I hope the economy will be more stable and better. Of course, right? What worries us is that if the trade war really begins on a full scale and imposes a huge impact on this, that worries everyone, right? None of us would want that.
Is exactly that we don't have much to produce. We don't have orders. We don't hire anymore. We have too many people here. They are trying to lay off some because they can't make ends meet anymore, having to pay so many people. There are no orders, so we all are just sitting around.
This is not targeted at exporters in just one particular industry. Everyone is facing the problem.
Chinese businesses have already diversified in recent years, building factories abroad to save labor costs and finding new suppliers. Some business owners here are looking to the government to help them better compete.
The tariffs the U.S. imposed on us have really been a big blow on Chinese businesses. We are waiting to see if our government can come up with policies that give us some support. Government aid would be good, too.
I can't really comment much on this, but I think, in terms of the development of our economy, first of all, China has its own market. And second, the outside world has also been more and more transparent for us. On the whole, things are heading toward a better future. So I think our businesses should adapt to the environment instead of trying to change the environment. We can't change the environment.
VOA Mandarin Service reporter Ye Bing. Coming up, registering Rohingya. You're listening to VOA Asia.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This news from VOA Asia. North Korea has asked United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres to deal with the illegal seizure of one of its cargo ships by the United States. Pyongyang's protest to the United Nations over the seizure comes amid mounting tensions since the second Trump-Kim summit. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, Bangladeshi authorities and the United Nations Refugee Agency have registered more than 250,000 Rohingya refugees and presented them with identity documents that grant them a number of rights and safeguards. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
Unlike citizens of a country, stateless people have few rights. They may be deprived of an education, a job, or health care. Those who are not registered at birth have no identity. That is the situation for millions of Rohingya who were stripped of their citizenship in neighboring Myanmar in 1982. Many of them are sheltering in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, after fleeing killings and persecution in Myanmar. For most of the more than 900,000 Rohingya refugees in Cox's Bazar, things are about to change for the better. The UN Refugee Agency says the more than 270,000 Rohingya refugees who have completed the registration process have, for the first time ever, received an identity card. UNHCR spokesman Andre Mahetic says the ID card includes a photo and key information, such as name, date of birth, and place of birth. It also indicates Myanmar as the country of origin.
The first and foremost purpose of this registration is humanitarian, in order to
safeguard their right to return, to regulate their stay, and also to make sure that we do not know only how many people there are, that we have a detailed profile which allows us, with the more accurate data, to deliver far better assistance to this massive refugee population.
Mehajit says the UNHCR and Bangladeshi authorities hope to complete the registration process for the entire refugee population by November. He cites a number of benefits associated with having an ID card. Mehajit says the data will allow aid agencies to target assistance to people in acute need, including women and children heading families and people with disabilities. With the monsoon season approaching, he says the registration data will help reunite families who are separated during storms. He notes the refugees are ripe for exploitation by smugglers and traffickers. Mehajit says the ID card will help authorities combat that nefarious trade. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Happening now in Asia, Huawei's founder and CEO says the growth of the Chinese tech giant may slow, but only slightly because of recent U.S. restrictions. Ron Zhengfei says the annual revenue growth for Huawei might be down as much as 20%. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, scientists say they have new ways of tracking where clothing, medicines, and other items are made, making it harder for unscrupulous businesses to sell items that don't work or violate laws. The new tools are made possible by using machine learning to profile the unique DNA combinations of invisible microbes that vary from place to place. This technology was highlighted at the Milken Institute Global Conference in Los Angeles, as VOA's Elizabeth Lee reports.
Your clothes, your medicine, and other items all have genetic signatures because they each have been made in different places. And environments are filled with different microbes that make a unique combination of DNA profiles.
It is the collection of bacteria, fungi, viruses, protozoa that are present in any environment. The tiny organisms that we can't see that are everywhere on the planet.
Jessica Green is co-founder of Phylogen, a company that is building a microbial map of the world. It is collecting dust from different places and turning that dust, which contains microbes, into data using DNA sequencing technology.
Products pick up microbes not only from settling dust from the air, but also from touching surfaces in that environment and coming into contact with the workers.
One application is to fight a problem in the clothing industry.
So what we're hearing from brands is that up to a third of our retail goods are coming from unauthorized facilities.
According to Human Rights Watch, unauthorized subcontracting of facilities in the apparel industry occurs often. And it's in these places that some of the worst labor abuses happen. Phylogen is working in more than 40 countries and sampling the dust in hundreds of factories to create a database so the microbes on each product can be traced to all the places it's been.
So we're essentially digitizing the genome of places. We sample the DNA of the products, and then we use machine learning algorithms to map what is on the product with the factory and can therefore verify for brands that their goods are made by their trusted suppliers in factories where you have good labor conditions, good environmental conditions, versus unauthorized facilities, which can be really detrimental.
With a database of distinct microbial DNA, Green says it's possible to predict the outbreak of disease and even trace counterfeit pills.
We can sequence the DNA of seized counterfeit pills, cluster together pills that have similar microbial signatures, and then use that to help both pharmaceutical companies and the government, the U.S. government, gain some intelligence about how many different sources of these manufacturing facilities are there.
And ultimately, one day, trace them to their source as the database grows. and provide more information about what you eat and drink. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Music has long helped people express their emotions and connect with one another. And over the years, medical studies have proven that music has many health benefits, too. They range from facilitating regular breathing and lifting mood to improving emotional function and motor control in patients. Faiza El-Masri tells us more about music therapy as Faith Lapidus narrates.
Katie Hernandez has two sons. Her oldest, Lucas, is 3 years old.
He is autistic, and he has a lot of sensory processing sensitivities, which means he's really sensitive to loud noises, bright lights, a lot of busy around his body, and he really likes to jump and swing and climb and anything active.
Earlier this year, Lucas started one-on-one music therapy sessions to increase his attention span.
Hey, 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 I got a question for you today.
Music therapist Dixie Mazur visits him once a week.
I brought in piano today because I've found that piano can be a great tool to work with anybody. It provides a lot of independence. I brought in drums because drums are a great way to engage with others and to use as like a redirection tool.
Mr. Golden Sun, please shine down on me.
Lucas's mother is happy with the results so far.
It's been really helpful. Miss Dixie's come up with a few songs to help him with social dialogue. So it helps him communicate with us a lot more when we can't figure out exactly what he needs.
Gerard has a cat on his head.
Music therapy can also be used in a group setting.
Good job, Gerard. Let's see. Can you pass the cat to Patrick?
Zoe Gleason-Bowles brings music therapy to a group of people with a range of disabilities.
As a group, they don't really engage with each other, so a lot of my work is trying to slowly get them to positively engage with their fellow group members, as well as actively engage with me.
She says the instruments stimulate patients' senses and muscles.
We can work with atypical individuals helping with stress management and self-care, all the way up to individuals who are paraplegic and aren't able to move their limbs or have extreme cognitive delays. If you've seen brain scans of people listening to music versus not, when you're listening to music, your entire brain is lit up because it's having the music and the intellectual sides both kind of firing all at once, whereas if you're just talking to somebody, you're probably more into one hemisphere of the brain rather than both.
Julie is here and it's time to say,
oh yeah, there we go.
Oh, Chrissy, I can't say hello to you until you're in a seat.
Music therapist Kelsey Yingling is founder and owner of Neurosound Music Therapy, which operates in Northern Virginia.
For a music therapist, we have to go through 4 years of undergraduate training and a six-month internship. That's 1,000 hours. And following that, we sit for a board certification exam to become board certified.
A music therapist should be patient and able to adapt to various situations.
It's a lot of work, so at the end of the day, it's exhausting, but I love music and the fact that I get to use music to help other individuals achieve their goals and their highest potential is really one of the most rewarding things I could be doing with my life.
Yingling says there are over 6,000 board-certified music therapists in the United States. She hopes more skillful therapists become certified so more patients can get the help they need. For writer Faiza El-Masri in Chantilly, Virginia, Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us online at iTunes and SoundCloud, VOA Asia Facebook, and, of course, on our website at voanews.com. You'll find us as well on the radio throughout Asia, U-Radio of Hatay University, FM 101.25 at Hatay University in Thailand, carries our program, and we thank everyone there who is listening today. We also thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Nashwan Kali, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day.